produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Pastor Tando Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa, and the name of our program is called Unede on Air, Ndizanati. This show is produced by Kayla Paget, and welcome to the broadcast today. It is the day that the Lord has made, and we will worship and be glad in it. Bazalwane, it's such a worship day. It's such a beautiful day. Akukho okungenzeki kuNkulunkulu. He is the great I am. I greet you in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to start a new series altogether. We finished on a series of faith, and now we're going on to another wagon, and we're covering the topic, Yothando. Hey, yes, let me repeat it. Yothando, that is in my language, which means love. This is a subject, that is most spoken of, sometimes misunderstood. But, you know, as for me, Nomfundisi Nyoni, for years, and I recognized the only way we can really understand and define uthando is through the Word of God. We cannot define it as a twin zela. Yes, some of us who've been to Bible colleges, they will teach you about different kinds of uthando. But the first lesson ever taught uthando is about God, who is love himself, and the scripture, what does it say? So please join me as we journey, sihambe lendlela together on the subject yothando. And iscripture says uqala ngaso ke namhlanje, amen. It's the siyasazi sonke, 1 Corinthians 13. It's too common, but it's not common for us to understand it, because the world needs love, we need love. And I've also realized that we fall short ngothando esabazalwane, even in our families, with our for those of you who are married, husbands and wives, fathers and daughters, some of us who have children, and your parents, extended families, somehow we fall short of love or showing love to one another. And so I just thought, in fact, it was just in my spirit, you know what, let's start this journey again. It was in 2016 where Moyo Ngwele impressed in my heart that I should start doing teachings on love. It was on the 26th of September, I remember. I was in another radio station at that time, but by God's grace, it's a lesson that is continually forever. It's a lesson and namhlanje, because we need to check ukuthi sihamba kanjani as far as love is concerned. Some of us, we may think sihamba kahle, but we have missed the mark altogether. So may God help us to move in love. Ngaleyo ndlela, I greet you in the name of Jesus. Bazalwane, amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover ourselves ngomlilo negazi lemvana as we enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. Baba, you are holy. There is no one like you. Your throne of greatness, Lord, you are big. You are God. We cover ourselves ngegama lenkosi yethu zilendeboko ngegazi lenkosi yethu Jesu, ngoba wena uNkulunkulu awehlulwa lutho oqalile emhlabeni wena ukubonisa to its finish line. Baba, namhlanje sicela subject yothando, sicela uncedo lwakho esidingitha, as you explain it and analyze it to your audience, Lord, emhlabeni wonke jikelele. May you help us through the oracles of my mouth that I teach it ngendlela wena uNkulunkulu ofise ngayo, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to zoom in on the subject of kindness. But we're going to start reading 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1 to verse to the first part of verse 8. So it's from 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, then sehle sifike ku verse 8, but u verse 8 is shanje sentence yokuqala, then we stop there. Now then bese siyayidingida ke indaba yethu. Let us go. So qala ngeversion ye NIV. I decided to use two versions today. Oh, you can use more because you need to use more versions anyway. It's him. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Imagine if you speak in the languages. How many languages are there in this world? In South Africa, we have 11 already. I don't know about other countries. And I hardly speak all of them. But the Bible tells us that if you speak in all these languages, moreover, the languages of angels, angels have languages. Jesus, that is heavenly things, la apogemos. If you speak in these languages but do not love, you are only a resounding gong, a clinging cymbal. You know, like a trumpet, it's good. We are just making noise to the Lord if you don't have love. As to begin, very serious. Yes? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not love, I am nothing. You are nothing. I'll see Luto. If you can be, you prophesy. I mean, how many of us love prophecy, especially good news from God, where God was saying in 2 years' time, in 3 years' time, whatever that God thou says, the Lord. But the Bible says here, even if you can hear directly from God and speak from the oracles of God and the mouth of God and say, thou said the Lord, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. You have the knowledge. For some of us or some of you who went to the best schools and studied, if you have all that knowledge, but if you don't have love, you are nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Like to gain nothing. If you are one of those people who are moneyed, you buy people cars, you excel in giving, you excel in generosity gifts, but if you don't have love, If it's done out of selfish ambition, not even out of kindness, not even out of love, you are nothing. You gain nothing. God is very serious about him, the character of love. Then let's know, look at what love is. It's in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. They said this last past verse 18. Love never fails. Jesus. Last time I checked, love has, according to 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 1, from verse 4 to 5 to 8, the first part of verse 8, last time I checked, it had 15 characteristics: patient, kind, no envious, does not boast, is not proud, it does not honor others, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it does not keep a record of wrongs, it does not delight in evil, it rejoices in truths, it protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres, and never fails. Jesus is Lord. Let's go to the version, New King James. The King The New King James Version reads thus from 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1 to chapter 13, from verse 1 to first part of verse 18. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, almost the same. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all the faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. The party of faith. Remember, we spoke about faith last time when you say to the mountain, move. The Bible says right here, even if you can move mountains with your tongue, your faith, God says, if you don't have love, you are nothing. Let's begin. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let's go to verse 4. Love suffers long. La panicaliati, love is patient. Laiti, love suffers long and is kind. This is the word I want us to focus on today. Kindness. Love is kind. Okay? Does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Then verse 8, the first part. Love never fails. I've always loved this last part. Love never fails. Meaning, we are more than conquerors. Uthando aluhlulwa. That is why, iBhayibheli Romans lithi, yini engasihlukanisa nothando kaNkulunkulu? Is it ukuhlupheka? Is it persecution? Is it hunger? Is everything embi? But it says, we in all this, you are more than conquerors. I'm not going there. I didn't even open the verse, but I was just mentioning it. So now he's training us to be love like himself, because he has deposited himself unto us. Love is kind. What does it mean, good love is kind? Jesus. Hey, Jesus. You know, that when I thought about this topic, the subject of love is kind. And when you check our dictionary, about Oxford, they'll tell you it's generosity, it's friendliness, it's, you know, it's loving, but kind. And the question was, how many of us are we kind? I mean, the scripture, Go Matthew 24. List jela kuti emhlabeni in the last days. Kuzoba uthando luzophela enhlizweni zabantu, even namakholo. And you ask yourself ukuthi uNkulunkulu silapho na? Why am I asking that or saying that? Is because somehow I am challenged as a born again Christian in the subject uthando. I am literally challenged. Ukuthi, are we really walking in love? Because even Jesus Christ, when he prayed for us, he prayed ukuthi bathandane, sizobonakala ngokuthandana emhlabeni. How many can vouch and say, you know, I love my brother and sister, let alone the Christian brothers, asiyendlini la uhlala khona? How many of us are walking in love? Let's look at the components of uthando, by the way. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and it never fails. When you look at a family structure, there's a father and a mother, ideally. But there's a parent, whether it's a single parent or both parents are in that household. you have a father and a mother, or you have a single parent, whether it's a father raising the children or the children raised by themselves, or the mother raising the children. So whichever structure you may think of right now. But the question here that we are focusing on is the love within the family. How many children are brought up in a family that see the kindness experienced or practiced, where people are friendly? Kindness whereby we are generous. People share what they have with other people, share with them themselves, and even in the neighborhood. How kind are we as families? I'm from in Africa. I'm from Africa, South Africa. And you grow up in a nation, and then the surrounding nations, where you see in our African countries, there was, like, for many years, poverty-stricken lifestyles, where Africa has been colonized and been subjected to poverty for many, many years. But however, in the midst of that situation, you find Ruti, there are stories that are of victory. I want a nice word in English, the tramp, you know, tramp part stories. Today, but it has to do nama families that conquer. How many of the African countries, or families for that matter, you find Ruti, even in the state of poverty, there are those people who have made it. Why? I would like to assume it's because of love within homes. Because love is an antidote. Love is it's a medicine. Love is the only way to go in this world. Where there is poverty, love covers all things. Where there is sickness, love heals. Where there is struggles, love soothes situations. Uthando lukwazi ukupholisa isimo. Hatred does not survive. In fact, it does not even come in la kunothando khona. Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love is generous. You know. So this is the lesson that as a world, as South Africa, as African countries, as the whole worldwide world, we need to look at the subject of love and really zoom in and understand who we are in God and who God is in us, so that we practice uthando on daily basis. As you wake up in the morning, as you walk around, okay, maybe because we are not yet free to walk around as we used to, but some movement as you do it, the people you meet on the street, how kind are you to them? For those of us who are able to go to work, even in this time of the coronavirus, how kind are you to your colleagues? What about your relatives, some of the family members that you have not seen in a while, and you talk to them via a phone? How kind are we to one another? Are we generous? Do we think about one another and just check out, how are you, Ndase? How are you in this time of the corona, in this time of that is so much? How are you doing? How are you coping? Are you okay? How much love are we showing to one another? South Africa, United States, the entire African continent, and the entire world. Are we willing to practice uthando? Are we willing to zoom in into our hearts and really look at us, Ruti? Are we walking in love? Is God our conductor? Because when God is your conductor, you take on the identity kaNkulunkulu and the shape yakhe. That is love itself. Yes, somebody can say, hey, it's difficult to love in these days. We are all stressed out. Hey, we are all stressed. The world is really not in a good sense. But the question would be, who are you listening to? Where do you draw your strength from? Who is the author and the finisher of your faith? Have you made Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now? Because in this time and era, the only person or the only God that can help you, uNkulunkulu, who has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He is love himself. He knows the infirmities zomhlaba. When Jesus Christ walked on this earth, he understood ukuthi there was hunger. Remember the fig tree? He understood that there was sickness. Remember when he met the Jairus man, there was again the woman with the issue of blood. He understood ukuthi sometimes things get finished like the wine emshadweni. He understood uJesu ukuthi we are scared. He went back to Peter after he got resurrected. He understood that Peter was scared as he denied him three times, as he ngokusho kwakhe uJesu before ezohamba emhlabeni, before ezobulawa. So he understood the infirmities, the challenges, ubuhlungu esivela kuwona, but that did not nullify the fact that we need to know and walk in love. You know, years back when God called me into ministry, he said, ngicela ungenzele izinto ezithu. In fact, he told me several things several times, several instructions. But there was a time he gave me three instructions, but one of them was that I need you to walk in love. I need you to walk in love. I'm sharing this subject with the world today, not because I have, you know, when I talked about the elements of love, I also did a test. I went through the Bible and I wrote, love is patient, love is kind. Then I said, how far am I doing in terms of patience? How far am I doing in terms of kindness? And I realized that time and again, I'm failing the test, your turn, failing dismally so. But then what I have learned is that Umoya Ngcwele, timelessly and every day of your life, he walks with you. He cleanses you of all unrighteousness. He walks with you to be patient. He walks with you to forgive somebody. He walks with you to extend a hand of generosity, of kindness to the next person. Even if unganatamad or ushota, now I have learned to give in my worst positions of giving. Well, the time when I was moneyed kakhulu, holy money every month, not that easy to give. But when the time came where I needed to depend completely on God and not having less, I started being able to give more than I used to. It was easier to give when I didn't have much to give than when I had a lot to give. I don't know. It's a conundrum. It's funny. I don't know why it happened that way. But I also understood that giving in love, it's beautiful in the eyes of God, and is also satisfactory to you as well. When you give out of love than giving out of plenty, it's just different. So may God help us. I have not anger in dao as far as love is concerned. I think this subject will speak to me as well more than it will speak to you as an audience. But I also learned this is a subject that we need to talk about right now. We need to love one another. We need to walk in kindness. We need to walk in less being easily angered. We need to walk in patience. For me, I'm still in my language, I would say in sub A. Some people say it's grade one. I'm still in grade one. Other people may be in matric, so others at adversity, which is tertiary level as far as love is concerned. Mina, I'm still right there. And God is taking me up step by step as he leads me in the name of Jesus. So, bazalwane, as you're listening through the sound of my voice and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're thinking, how do I receive this love? How do I know this love? It is possible. It's very possible. All you need to do is to raise your hand or just open your mouth and say, Nkosi Jesu. I've heard Pastor Thandwe Nyoni talking about love. I've heard that you loved us so much that you gave, because it was because of love that you gave your only begotten son to die for us, so that we may have life and have it to its abundance. So having life is because of your love. So how do I receive you? Then you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your child. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, old things have passed, new things have come. Remember that how you used to live your life without the knowledge of the love of God. But now through Christ, you'll be able to walk in life. The old things have passed away. The newness have come. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your child. I receive you today as your daughter and as your son. And I thank you for forgiving my sins in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you do that prayer, whether you have done it with me right now or whether you do it in the comfort of your own home, remember that you are loved, and remember that it makes you to be, you belonging in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. Then you need to find a church that preaches the word of God, which is that teaches from the Bible, and they pray in the name of Jesus. And you also start saying, God, Lord Jesus, help me. Teach me your ways. Teach me your word. Allow him to teach you his word, because he is Alpha and the Omega. Let me pray for you before we do our final announcements. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your kindness, that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have an everlasting life. Namhlanje, in South Africa, in Africa, in the United States, in the entire world, we receive your word, we receive your love, and we receive you, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. Sithi akekho ofana nawe, uyisiqalo, uyisiphetho, usonini nanini, ungumadide, umenzo into zonke. You are the great I am. Today, Lord, we say you are holy. We thank you for greatness. We thank you for health. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us. Babo qala emhlabeni, you see to its completion. This day, this hour, hey, Jesus, we thank you for being a good God. We thank you for dying for us on the cross when you said it is finished, and it was finished. Hey, Jesus, every sickness, we were nailed on the cross. Death, you were nailed on the cross. Poverty, you were nailed on the cross. Death, you were nailed on the cross. Everything, any of the iniquity, every evil found on this world was nailed on the cross with you, Lord Jesus. We are free. Jesus, we are free indeed, because we are with you, because we are in Christ. Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us. We thank you, Father God, as we say, Abba, Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this hour. In the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Bazalwane, as I close up, I would like to invite you to our prayer sessions, Esun at the Prodigy, on the 10th of June, from South African time, 6:30 p.m. in the afternoon. We're starting to pray for our motivational sessions. As you are aware, that Unite does motivations, that just does strategy, and does counseling. We are a company, obviously. I'm saying we are a company so that people know that we charge for services. However, for prayer, I mean, we pray. It's free. You just need to log on onto our Zoom account. The login details, I will send them in time. I will ask our CEO, Mr. Chukwudu, to help us put it online, all the details about it, prayer. And if you are interested, please log on and pray with us. The first session will be on the 10th of June at 6:30 p.m. That is South African time. I'm not sure about other countries, but in my country, 6:30 it's in the evening. And then we will put other details on the website or on the information from the radio station. And people who would like to WhatsApp me directly, my number is 084-669-3615. 084-669-3615. In so saying, I'd like to thank God for this time. I pray that you are kept well during this time in the name of Jesus. And the radio station, we love you and we say to you, goodbye and good day. Bye.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, praise God. We give God the glory one more time for having given us the opportunity to connect in His Word and to fellowship in His Word, to have a great time in His presence and in the Word of God. We thank God coming all the way from South Africa, bringing greetings to all the brethren around the world on glorifying God with Pastor Dledwell Zabani from South Africa. Well, today on the program, I want us to look at the question of one of the most important things that we need to consider as and when we continue to glorify God. It becomes very, very important for us to understand that there are certain things that we need to look into and that we need to make sure that they are in place in order if we are ever going to be able to glorify God. And one of those things which becomes very, very important for us to glorify God is to deal with the past effectively. So I want us to look into the question of dealing with the past, dealing with the past in order to glorify God. Bad things that happen to us leave us with bad memories, which can become quite a challenge to deal with. These negative events imprint bad memories in our minds, which we then have to overcome in order to move on with our lives, especially after a bad experience in life. It could be in your life in general. It could be in business. It could be in your studies, in your relationship. It could be in your marriage. It could be that you've been through a divorce. It could be that it's family related. But these things can become, you know, the bad events that have happened in the past can become quite a challenge to overcome and to deal with. And they can actually prevent us from moving on, moving forward, and glorifying God in our lives. So how then do we make sure that we overcome these things and that we are able to glorify God despite what has happened to us in the past? And I want us to look at, before we move any further, look at the effects of bad memories. In other words, what bad memories can do in a person's life. Number one is that, you know, they present you with very, very difficult questions to which you seek to find answers. You know, these are some of the questions that come into a person's mind when they have gone through bad experiences. Number one is, how do I go on after this? There are people battling with this question as we speak. What do I do now? Now that this has happened, now that I've been through that experience, now that I've been affected in that way, now that that has happened, what now? What do I do now? There are people who are confused and don't know what to do. The other question is, can I survive this episode? And if so, how do I survive it? You know, you don't know what to do now going forward after the experience that you have had. Now that you experienced what you experienced, what do you do now? How can you survive this episode? And if so, how do you survive? Then the other question is, what do people think of me now? There are people who are so concerned about what people think about them, but it actually cripples them, and they are not able to move forward and do the things that they are called to do and do the things that they're purposed to do because of the fact that they view themselves in the light of what people think of them based on past experiences, based on past events, based on past events that happened in the past. Now, then you begin to prioritize the question of what people think of you now that you've been through that. Now that, like, for instance, a person who's been through a divorce or a person who's been through a very terrible experience, you then ask yourself this question: what do people think of me now? The other question is, can I still make it in life? After a very bad and terrible experience, the question does come in one's mind: can I still make it after this? Now, I want us to look at how do we go on after a bad, unpleasant, or terrible experience in life. Step number one is leave the past behind. That's the first thing that you need to do, is to leave the past behind. Let it go. Let go of it. Move beyond the past. Move past, your past incidents and past events. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, I'm reading the King James, and it says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." This is God speaking. Now, based on this verse of scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, a number of important points emerge. One of them is, don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't let the things that happened in your past shape your life. Don't let the things that happened in your past determine the direction that your life ought to go or that your life is going. That's the first thing. Leave the past behind. In other words, let go of it. Arm yourself with a thinking and an attitude that says, what happened in the past is in the past, and I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving it in the past. I'm moving on because I know that there are greater things that God has in store for me. So I'm not going to get stuck on the past and dwell on the past to such an extent that I become crippled and not be able to move forward. Number two is make a serious effort to put the past behind you. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come automatically. It's not going to come naturally. But you have to put forth the effort. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. In other words, there's no one who can do it for you. No one who can do it on your behalf. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. Number three, don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. Don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. When certain bad and unpleasant things and experiences and events occur and unfold in life, they often set us back from our quest to attain to the purpose of God and the calling of God in our life. They often set us back momentarily and temporarily so from pursuing our goals and our objectives in life. So now it becomes very important for us that once we have these kind of experiences, we don't allow these temporary setbacks to determine our path of life. In other words, you don't end up throwing in the towel and giving up simply because you have been set back temporarily because of a bad experience in your life. Don't let that determine your path of life. Choose the path of life that you know God wants you to pursue, and pursue that with all your might and with all determination, not on the basis of what happened to you in the past. Number four that I want us to look at is build your character on the word of God, not on your past events and experiences. Build your character on the word of God and not on the past events and experiences. That's very, very important. Or the building of character is one of the most important things that must be prioritized and must be treated with the utmost seriousness if we are going to move past our, you know, beyond our past experiences and move on to glorify God by fulfilling everything that He has told us to do, by being fruitful and multiplying in everything that we do. So I want us to take a moment and look at character, because it's very, very important. Build your character on the word of God. What does that mean? What does character entail? What does the building of character entail? Number one, I'm going to look at a few things here. The first thing that becomes an important building block to character is morality. Don't lose your moral values because of past experiences, because of unpleasant experiences, because of bad experiences, because of being treated badly in the past, because of, you know, negative things that could have occurred and happened in the past as you are moving on in your life. Maintain your morality. Don't lose your moral values. Always seek to hold on to your moral values. Don't let past bad and unpleasant experiences cause you to lose your moral values. There are many people who end up losing their moral values because of events of the past. The second thing that character entails is honesty. Be honest to yourself, be honest to God, be honest to everyone in all that you do. Don't now begin to become dishonest simply because you were treated badly in the past, simply because you had bad experiences, simply because of events that were very unpleasant that could have happened in the past. Always be honest in all that you do. Number three is integrity. And by integrity, what I mean is be principled in your behavior. In everything that you do, live according to certain godly, biblical, scriptural principles. Choose your principles carefully. Choose your principles deliberately and decide. Make a decision and a commitment to live according to those principles. Be principled. Be a principled person. Don't lose your integrity because of past events. Number four is respectability. Always make sure that you maintain your respectability. Let your behavior force people to respect you. You will remember that Paul said to Timothy, let no one look down on you because you are young. Instead, become in speed and purity, in love and faith and in behavior, an example to all those who believe. So then you must make sure that you do not lose your respectability, either because of past and unpleasant experiences, mistakes that you may have committed in the past and people are aware of them. Don't let that make you lose your respectability. Always let your behavior force people to respect you. Behave in such a way that even if people desire to disrespect you and desire to dishonor you and desire to look down on you and despise you, but your behavior will force them to acknowledge the fact that it is impossible to disrespect someone who behaves in this particular way. The next one is rectitude. And by rectitude, I mean live a decent life. Be decent about everything you do. Be decent in the manner in which you speak. Be decent in your dress code. Be decent in your behavior. Be decent in your interaction with other people. Be decent in everything and about everything that you do in and around your life. And then the next one is honor. That is also one of the most important building blocks of character. Be honorable in all that you do. And the next one is courage. Now, by courage, I mean act in spite of feelings or fear. You see, often when things happen in our lives, they can instill in us a fear to take action, a fear to move forward because of, you know, the little voice of fear would seek somewhere in the back of our mind to say, what if you do this and you fail? What if you don't succeed? What if you get hurt again? What if something bad happens to you? What if you try this and it doesn't work out? What if people don't support what you do? What if people don't agree with what you do? That voice that says, what if can cripple your courage and cause you not to be able to move forward? You know, you need to act. Even though those things do come and you experience those feelings of fear and doubt, but you need to then be determined to take action in spite of those feelings. That is being courageous. And God said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. In other words, act in spite of feelings of fear. In other words, act in spite of threats around you, threats that stand in your way. Take action, even though, you know, you can see the circumstances, even though you can see the environment that you're in, that it may not necessarily be favorable, but take action. We're going to understand this as we go on. Then the next one that becomes an important building block to character is goodness. You need to understand that bad experiences have a way of twisting and eroding one's character if allowed to do so. Move forward. You need to make an effort to make sure that you put the past behind and that you build your character on the word of God. Question then that comes is, what kind of effort is needed to achieve this? Right. We're going to look at the number of steps that we need to follow and guided by the word of God. Number one, believe what God says, not what people say or what the sect say. In other words, don't focus on what people are saying about you. Don't focus on what people are saying about your situation. Don't focus on what people are saying about your, you know, your course of action. Don't focus on what people are saying as you continue to seek to obey God. Believe what God says. Don't believe what people say. Don't even look at the environment and say, because I see that the environment is not so favorable, it's going to be difficult for me to do this. No, believe what God says. If God said you can do it, then you can do it. If God said you will do it, then you will do it. Believe what God says. Now, it becomes clear from there that in order to believe what God says, you have to know what God says. And in order to know what God says, you have to speak to God. You have to talk to God all the time. Because if you don't talk to him, you're not going to know what he says. You have to read what he has written in his word by inspiration. And that's how you familiarize yourself with what God said. And in other words, you need to stay focused on the word, meditate on the word, read the word day and night, each and every day. Number two is, don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the problem. If you do, you magnify it in your mind. You make it big in your mind, and then it becomes a mountain that becomes, you know, seems to be impossible for you to climb. So don't focus on the problem. Number three, don't focus on the wrong that was done. This is one of our weaknesses as human beings, is that when, you know, certain people do wrong to us, we then focus on the wrong that was done. And we remain there, we get stuck on the wrong that was done. And it cripples our ability to move forward because we are still stuck on the wrong that was done. We're thinking and meditating and analyzing so much the wrong that was done. So don't focus on the wrong. And the next one is, don't focus on the pain. You know, when you've had a painful experience, it's very tempting to keep focusing on the pain that you have felt, because that pain also cripples you, because it threatens you from moving forward because of the fear that, what if I get hurt again? What if I experience the same pain again? Or what if I experience an even worse pain than before? And so it becomes important that you don't focus on the pain. Focus on the word of God. That's the next step. Focus on the word of God. In other words, meditate on the word of God day and night. God says that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Meditate on the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 also teaches us to meditate on the word of God. In verse 1, talks about your behavior. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. And then verse 3 talks about the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose leaves do not wither, and who brings forth fruit in his season. In other words, you will prosper in everything that he does. So now this is the result of meditating on the word of God. But the result of meditating on the pain, the result of meditating on the wrong done, the result of meditating on the problem, the result of meditating on the bad experiences is always one that will take you away from achieving your goals and your objectives. It's always one that will move you away from prosperity, but it will keep you trapped in a situation where you're not able to move forward. So the next step then is build your faith in God. Build your faith in God. It's very, very important that you learn to build your faith in God. Don't build your faith in people. Don't build your faith in circumstances. Build your faith in God. Don't build your faith even on your experiences, but build your faith in God. Now, what is faith? Faith is a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. That's what faith is. In other words, if you hear what God says, his word convicts you, and you become persuaded about what God says. That's what faith is. And that's according to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things, hope, evidence of things, but it's a firm persuasion. You are firmly persuaded. You are convinced. You become convicted about what God said. In other words, you believe that what God has promised, he is also able to do. What God has promised, he is also able to deliver. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, if you look at faith how faith is used in the Bible, we'll take two examples. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and verse 5, Paul writes these words. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we see now that how faith is used in Scripture is that faith is anchored in God. Faith is built upon God. Faith is built on God. You don't build your faith on the wisdom of men, as Paul says here. That's why he says his word, his teaching, did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom, so that the faith of those who were listening to him and following him would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So put your faith in the power of God. Believe in what the power of God can achieve for you. Believe in what the power of God can do for you. The other one is, you know, when you talk about faith, you're always going to find that in the way it is used in the Bible, it is always connected with faithfulness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, for what if some did not believe? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You see, you've got to remain faithful to your faith in God. You've got to remain faithful to your conviction and your persuasion to what God says and to his word. That's why he says, if others do not believe, shall that make the faith of God without effect? Not at all. In other words, don't lose your faith simply because other people are losing their faith and they are, you know, letting go of their faith. Remain always in faith. Stay in faith and keep believing what God says. Now, I want us to quickly look at the element of faith. Faith, we build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in man. We build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in man. Now, let's look at that. What is that? What does that mean? Number one, It's a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of both revelation or truth. In other words, live your life by revelation knowledge. Live your life according to the truth of the Word of God. Number two, faith in the invisible God is a personal surrender to Him. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be called His children. In other words, faith is a personal surrender to God. You surrender to Him as His child. You surrender to Him as your father. Number three, faith in the invisible God is a conduct inspired by such surrender. You see it when you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So now your conduct, you begin to behave in a way that is inspired by your surrender to God as His child and as Him being your father. Number four, it is a faith that does not rest on an opinion held in good faith, but faith that rests on God Himself. An example of that is Abraham. We read his story like in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 20 and 21. Paul relates the story of how Abraham believed God and had his faith anchored in God. Now, the next point that I want us to look at is, in order to move beyond the past and glorify God, is deal with anxiety from a standpoint of faith. It means, I'm going to bring 2 points here. Number one is continually offer prayer with faith firmly anchored in God. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you need to be careful not to tolerate anxiety or worry, because it will ruin your soul. God alone can help you, and He will do so. He will be able to help you if you will pray about everything that happens and give thanks to God for everything. The second point, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 4-24, you will read the story in your time. The Bible, you know, teaches us to align our priorities right. You need to prioritize those things that are important. Now, I want us to move over into the writings of Jeremiah Quigley. In chapter 29, we read from verse 8 up to verse 13. He says, for thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners be in the midst of you, that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. They prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after these 70 years, be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you. Listen to that. In causing you to return to this place. For I know the thought I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That phrase, expected end, simply means a future. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, that's what it means. It means your future is in God's hands. You need to keep your faith in the fact that your future is in God's hands. Don't worry about your future. It's in the hands of the Lord. God has already taken care of you. He says He knows the thoughts He thinks toward you. Why? Because He performs His good word toward you. Glory be to God. Now, Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul concurs with this and he says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you the full assurance that God will give you your future. He will perform the good work which He has started. He will finish everything that He has started in your life. And in conclusion, I read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, don't worry about your future. Don't be anxious about your future. It's in God's hands. If your faith is entered in God, you know that your future is in God's hands. Because in verse 19 of Isaiah 43, he said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." If you put your faith in God, he will make a way where there is no way. He will make a way in the wilderness and a way even where there are rivers. May the good Lord continue to bless you as you continue to deal effectively with your past events. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, greetings, greetings, greetings again from South Africa. We greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. This is your program, Destined for Glory, on Finding My Way Radio, USA World. We thank God for yet another day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And we thank God that He has kept us by His grace. And His messages are new every morning, even for you as you are listening wherever you are throughout the world. We greet you, we salute you with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, that He has kept you for this day to receive of the newness of His message upon your life. And I pray to God that you will open up your heart with me to receive from God that, well, as we continue again right now into our program, Destined for Glory, let us pray together with you again today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, positioning ourselves to receive of you from your word. We thank you that your word is anointed, is alive and quicker. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword and piercing through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and searching the intent of the heart. Father, speak your blessing right now over every listener right now as you receive of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, as we continue in Destined for Glory, we are living at a time right now where you and I can ask the question as to what is going on throughout the world. I do believe that that's the reason why God is calling us to be looking at this, the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I do believe that everything that is going on right now is putting us at the place where you and I need to know our identity with God as to how do we stand in the witness of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that God has appointed for us to know Him by revelation, that He, Jesus, is the Christ. He is the Son of the living God. And as we know Him thus, we will know to walk by faith, connecting the revelation of who Jesus is. For we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So we greet you again on this day and say, let's embrace the dealings of the Spirit of God in this hour and rise up with the Spirit to know what is going on in our day right now. And it is my prayer that as you look at the situation, things that are going on throughout the world, they do not take God by surprise. Remember, the Word of God says that in these days we will see towns built with bloodshed, the rule of man built with bloodshed and iniquity. But the Word then continues to say in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, He says, but the earth will be
filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, which means God has not appointed anything negative or anything evil to cover the earth, but he has appointed the knowledge of his glory to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, the knowledge of his glory calls for the revelatory knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the very brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of his person, and he is upholding all things by the word of his power. And the Bible says when God had made himself perched, when he himself had perched our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. So right now, all we need is Jesus Christ, the exalted one. Remember Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says God has exalted Jesus Christ and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he, Jesus, is Lord. And I do believe this is the time. If you wonder how we are going to spend in the midst of all the things that are going on, you and I will only know to spend in the name that is above every other name, even the name of Jesus Christ. There is victory in knowing Jesus by revelation. And as we have begun, remember the scripture of our premise in Matthew 16, where Jesus blessed Peter because Peter had received by revelation who Jesus is and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." So he was saying to him, "You are blessed because of knowing me by the revelation from the Father." And I want us today, you and I, to embrace the capacity of the blessing. What is this blessing? What does this blessing do to us? And how does the blessing of God position us before God when we get to know Jesus by revelation? He said to Simon, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed this unto you." So knowing Jesus by revelation is God's victory for you and I over every limitation of flesh and blood. So this revelation gives us the victory over that. Understand, when the prophet Isaiah prophesied the coming of Jesus, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, he said, "Unto us a child is born," which means Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who is the Christ, Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, came through the flesh. And he said, "Unto us a child is born," which means he came through the natural sphere. Now, get this revelation. Whatever sphere God chooses to come through, listen very carefully, whatever sphere God chooses to come through or to manifest himself through, he destroys the strongholds of that sphere and he becomes the stronghold of that sphere. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you that Jesus Christ was born in the flesh. He became Christ, or Christ incarnate, or God incarnate, came in the flesh. And as he came in the flesh, he took the domain, the territory, the sphere of the flesh. He destroyed every part of the stronghold of the flesh, and he has now become the stronghold of the flesh. What does this mean? It means that you and I, therefore, to become alive in this life that we are living in this body that we are living in, the body of flesh and blood, the only way we can be victorious in them it is to know by revelation that Jesus came in the flesh, and the strongholds of the flesh or of the natural have been destroyed, so that now Jesus, our God in Christ, has become the stronghold for us. We now have Jesus, and we can live in this body that we are living in, but with the authority 20, we hear Paul then saying this word, I am crucified with Christ. And I want us to look at that. He says, I am crucified with Christ. And he says, the life that I live now, the life that I live now, I do not live by myself. All right? I have been crucified with Christ. And then he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Can you hear me now? It means the blessing of knowing Jesus by revelation gives us now authority to live in this life of flesh and blood, but not with our own strength anymore, but with the faith of the Son of the living God. He says, I do not live it by myself anymore. I live by faith. By the faith of the Son of God. Yes, the original King James Version put it just like that. I live by the faith of the Son of God, which means Jesus. Jesus came through the domain of the natural. He conquered the strongholds of them, whatever they be, whether it's the oppression of the mind, whether it's the oppression of the body, whether it's the oppression of the material circumstances. Jesus has already passed through here. And that's why, therefore, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible then says, we have a high priest who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he himself has been tempted at all points, yet without sin, which means he tasted everything that you and I may have to confront while we walk in this world, while we're living in this flesh and blood. But he has conquered all the strongholds of the domain of flesh and blood, so that nothing in the realm of the natural could ever limit you and I in this life. Hallelujah. And that's why he goes on then to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, but as it is written, he's referring to the writing in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and he says, now it's coming to fulfill, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it gone into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Know that I have not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it gone into the heart of man. What are these three dimensions? These three dimensions of these three elements, they represent our existence in the natural, our existence in the flesh, our existence in the intelligible realm of existence. And he says that realm has not yet seen, heard, or felt the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And when we read verse 10 of the same 1 Corinthians 2, he says, but to us they are revealed by the Spirit of God, for the Spirit searches all things. And then he says, yes, the deep things of God. Yes, that principle of the deep things of God, it means things that are to be revealed. He says, but to us, they are revealed by the Spirit of God. Yes, that's why in our establishing scripture of Matthew 16, Jesus says unto Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Can you see that right now? And you must understand, when Jesus was speaking to Peter, he had not yet died on the cross. It was still something that even Peter could not comprehend. But now, you and I must have the right perspective and the view of how we are reading the scripture. We are reading the scripture from the place of the resurrected one, the ascended one, the soon coming one. He is not the Christ who is still going to die. He died. He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He's coming back again. And he declared, it is finished. So when he said, it is finished, he meant now the revelation of the Father is sealed. It is no longer the revelation reasons that you know, like Peter got to know just in a moment. No, now it is a revelation that you live by. That's why Paul then says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. What is the faith of the Son of God? The faith of the Son of God, the faith of Jesus Christ, is the faith that saw him go to the cross, that saw him carry the sins of the world, that saw him laying down his life for you and I. He says, now, in order for us to live in this world, we live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's why Jesus said unto us, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. How can we follow him? We can follow him because he took up his cross by faith. And by the same faith of the Son of God, we can live this life victorious over every constraint of the flesh, victorious over every limitation of the natural. And thank God that in Christ now, every limitation is broken because we have come to know him by revelation. So in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10, he says, but to us they are revealed by the Spirit of God, for the Spirit searches all things. And he says, yes, the deep things of God. So what is this knowing Jesus by revelation? Or what is this? The victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the victory of knowing him by the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searches all things, and he says, yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things, and he says, yes, the deep things of God, which means the things that are to be revealed by the Spirit of God. The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And God has revealed it unto us. Now, when we go further in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 2 and verse 11, going forward, he says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? He says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And then he says to us, now we have received not the spirit of the world, know that, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Know that. This is the power of connecting your victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that power? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God to connect our knowledge of Jesus Christ by revelation. Our victorious knowledge of Jesus Christ by revelation. Because I want you to know, my beloved, wherever you are, the things that are going on right now that we have been warned about in Scripture, that perilous times are coming. Paul wrote to Timothy, perilous times are coming. And in these times, there shall be spirits of deception. There shall be demonic expressions. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Men shall be boastful. It is in this season that your knowledge and my knowledge of Jesus Christ is going to be put to the test. How do you know him? You cannot just come to know him through anything that is seen with the eye, that is felt with the feelings, or that is touched with the material. No, you and I have come to know him, of course, come to know him by revelation. And it is the revelation of the Spirit of God. That's why, therefore, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, then he goes on to say, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yes, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, which means the Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to the place of sonship. Now, as I come to the close, I want you to listen to this. Jesus said to Peter, he asked Peter and the disciples in Matthew 16, who do people say I, the Son of Man, am? Know that. Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am. Now, look at this with me, that if you read it again and remove the Son of Man, Jesus was already going to be revealing himself by the Spirit and by revelation. If you could have removed the Son of Man, because it would read, who do men say that I am? And if you had read that way, I am is him who is. And if you could have just said it down again, I guess, maybe every one of them would have remembered when God was sending Moses to meet Pharaoh and said, when Moses said, God, who should I say send me? And God said to Moses, say, I am that I am, which is, this is God, and this is who I am. And the minute you say, I am, Moses, immediately my whole nature will be standing before the Father of the world. And therefore, when Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am, he was giving them that the Son of Man is already obvious, is already the cross I'm bearing, is already the stronghold I am dethroning. And therefore, I don't want you to tell me that they say I'm the Son of Mary, I am the Son of Joseph. No, I want you to tell me who do they say I am. And that's why Peter then said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus had to say to him, this is the revelation. And Peter's name, or Simon's name, was changed to Peter because Peter meant you are the product of this rock of revelation. Even as I am, so you are, Peter. This is what Jesus was saying. As I am, so you are, which means you are born now of the very revelation or rock of revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so now you also have become Peter. And let me close it here. That's why when we read in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, it reads, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, listen to that. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And Peter said in Matthew 16, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, this is the rock, what you are saying, and you yourself have become now the stone, the particle of the rock. You are the rock. So in the same way, you and I, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. This, my beloved, is what the world is waiting for. This is what the creation is waiting for. The Bible says creation is prevailing, Romans 8 and 19, awaiting the manifestation of the sons of God, not the manifestation of another hero, not another manifestation of another politician or political grouping or some magical, mystical person. No. Creation is prevailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the Bible says that creation shall be released into the glorious liberty, which means the liberty that is full of glory. And therefore, you and I are destined for glory in order to bring the answer, release the answer to creation, and silence all that is going on in this world. We shall live peaceably in this world. Let us pray for the politicians, pray for the government, pray for the rulers, pray for the situations in our nation, from a place of knowing that we are the sons of God, we are born of God, and from that place we can intercede, we can pray, and we can live a peaceable life. So God, wish me blessings. We in South Africa are embracing the month of May, which is the Africa month. On the 25th of May, it shall be the celebration of Africa Day. And we believe in God for the blessing upon Africa, for the destiny release of the global contribution of Africa, even through the church kingdom. So God richly bless you as we wait again to meet in destiny for glory. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.